herself a drink. No more coffee. She wanted scotch on the rocks. And as she poured it, she saw the long scratches in the wooden counter that her fingernails had left. She looked at her fingernails. Three of them were broken. She hadn't noticed before. She made the drink and went out to sit in the living room. "Yes," Anders was saying into the phone. "Yes, I understand." "No. No idea." "Well, we're trying." She went to the broken window and looked out at the city. The sun was up, lighting a dark band of brown air that hung above the buildings. It was really a lethal place to live, she thought. She should move to the beach, where the air was better. "Well, listen," Anders said angrily. "None of this would have happened if you'd kept that fucking guard at his door in the hospital. I think you better keep that in mind." She heard the phone slam down and turned. "Shit," he said. "Politics." "Even in the police department?" "Especially in the police department," he said. "Anything goes wrong, and suddenly there's a scramble to see who can get stuck with it." "They're trying to stick you?" "They're trying me on for size." She nodded and wondered what was happening back at the hospital. Probably the same thing. The hospital had to maintain its image in the community. The chiefs of service would be in a sweat. The director would be worrying about fundraising. Somebody at the hospital would get stuck. McPherson was too big. She and Morris were too small. It would probably be Ellis. He was an assistant professor. If you fired an assistant professor, it had connotations of firing a temporary appointment who had proven himself too aggressive, too reckless, too ambitious. Much better than firing a full professor, which was very messy and reflected badly on the earlier decision that had given him tenure. It would probably be Ellis. She wondered if he knew. He had just recently bought a new house in Brentwood. He was very proud of it. He had invited everyone in the NPS to a housewarming party next week. She stared out the window through the shattered glass. Anders said, "Listen, what do seizures have to do with cardiac pacemakers?" "Nothing," she said, "except that Benson has a brain pacemaker, very similar to a cardiac pacemaker." Anders flipped open his notebook. "You better start from the beginning," he said. "And go slowly?" "All right." She set down her drink. "Let me make one call first." Anders nodded, sat back, and waited while she called McPherson. Then, as calmly as she could, she explained everything she knew to the policeman. Chapter 10. McPherson hung up the telephone and stared out his office window at the morning sun. It was no longer pale and cold. There was the full warmth of morning. "That was Ross," he said. Morris nodded from the corner. "And?" "Benson came to her apartment. She lost him." Morris sighed. "It doesn't seem to be our day," McPherson said. He shook his head, not taking his eyes off the sun. "I don't believe in luck," he said. He turned to Morris. "Do you?" Morris was tired.